Before we started recording, Timmy had a fight with a fly in his drink. It was very funny.
Ooh, it was the fight of the night. I mean, unless we get into a combat tonight, I don't even know if we do get into combat tonight. I don't know if it topped that combat because I was fired up.
I don't know how you survived, to be honest. I mean,
you should really put that fire out.
See, when you're fighting against a tiny creature that's CR9. It's
diminutive. Right. Or fine, actually. Fine is the smallest.
Fine. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fly was fine.
So I have a very cool story to tell you guys.
Oh, story time.
I was talking with my dad today. I was telling him about all the good stuff going on because I've got like a new job and I got a new car, you know, talking about all that kind of stuff. And eventually we got to like the podcast stuff because he was asking if we're still doing stuff on Twitch and, you know, told him about stuff. He was like, yeah, so I was talking to somebody about it. I don't remember what the context was, but he was like, yeah, my son's in this one called the Dragon Punch Squad. And they were like, oh, I know that one.
Oh,
really?
Famous.
I was like, he did tell me who it was, but like right now there is somebody out there locally that my dad would talk to completely randomly, and he just like threw the name out there, and they were just like, oh yeah, I know that one.
That's so sick.
Wow.
All right. So to that person that happened to be talking to my dad, whether or not you know, thank you for listening.
What your dad didn't include was right after he said that, he was like, man, they suck.
Aren't they trash? I mean,
actually, they're a bunch of fucking nerds, but...
Like, I just go there just to give them one-star reviews on iTunes.
You know what? Now that I know you know what they are, I think less of you.
They couldn't represent the Eastern Shore in a more poor, disgusting way.
A few more guns.
I'm ashamed to say that I live in the same zip code as them, potentially. But yeah, so I want us to go into this episode tonight, thinking about the fact that we're getting there. A lot more people are listening to us.
Yeah.
Tim, I know that you know we just got onto Threads and stuff like that, and so you know we're interacting with people there. But you know it's always awesome to hear new people and you know talk to new people and stuff like that.
Yeah. Give us a year in Madison Square Garden, we'll sell it out.
Exactly. I don't know what we're doing, right? But
we're doing something.
We'll disappoint a lot of people.
The TTRPG scene is really flooded the Threads. They wanted to get out of Twitter so bad.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's funny is that they all wanted to go to Blue Sky, but Blue Sky was some gatekeeping people, and I mean, they missed the shot. I'm sorry, Blue Sky is dead. Like. I didn't even hear of it.
I had no idea what it was.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
No, so I went to it, and then, because some of our friends went there. Waffles Maple Syrup, I think, just got in.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely group over there. Please go follow them as well. Listen to them. And, like, they got in, and I was like, how did I get in? I was like, what the heck? But no, a lot of people jumped on Threads, and you want to know the funniest part about that? Is that there was a meme that was like, where it was Elon, he was just like, what happened? Why is everybody jumping over there? And then there was it was Elon talking to somebody, and then they were just like, sir, you released the source code as a meme.
That's right, I remember that.
Yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg probably did that in a weekend.
Yeah.
Well, now that Threads out, it's popular, I'm going to make the same decision I made with Twitter and never make an account.
Yeah.
There you go.
Very much.
Well, I do want to bring it in because somebody that we actually somebody on Threads that gave me a really good idea. So shout out to Unremarkable Hero there on Threads. To be clear, you are a remarkable.
I was about to say,
hero
it sounds like one. He might be remarkable.
He's a remarkable guy.
He is, yeah.
He's modest.
And they had talked about how one of the ways that they like to get players engaged in keeping notes and stuff like that is that I want you guys to give a good recap for the reward of a hero point.
Hmm. Shit.
So we are starting. We're starting a new chapter in the book. Since you guys just got out of the Iodara or the way station. And so this is a new chapter, so you guys get your hero points again, but you can get an additional one this session if you can give me a good recap.
Teacher.
What?
I'd like to do the recap.
God damn it.
I've got a good one.
Gonna let the new guy go?
The new guy?
Who's the new guy?
You're technically the new Grimshaw.
Okay, I was about to say, I'm like,
Grimshaw's new. He doesn't deserve a hero point.
what you got there, John? You said you had an idea.
So, how you get a hero point?
No.
It's a recap of last session for a hero point.
No.
Okay.
I'm avoiding the situation where I would take an instant L. I know what my strengths are.
So what we did...
Sounds like I have no memory of several days ago.
I make people chuckle when I bring the yucks. I can't remember shit.
All right, Grimshaw, you called it, so you can go, Tim.
Yeah, go for
it. Hey, crane shot. We see the party standing over the corpses of their newly defeated foes. Hags.
What were their names?
Hags on hags. One hag was named Rusty Nail.
Mm.
Another hag was named
<wasn't>.
Ruella. Anywho, names aren't important. We found some. We found some
don't
rituals.
Don't need names when you're dead.
Add a poop.
The gravestone. What do we need a name for?
So the party found some rituals, some very high-level rituals. Planar Ally, which we have not talked about yet, which I'm very excited to find a story moment for. So, like, you know, I didn't forget about it, dear listener. We also found the Resurrect ritual, which in a cruel twist of fate wouldn't even work for Adelar because the base level of the ritual requires that the body be mostly intact, and Adelar's body was burned to ash. So... can't even bring him back.
That was the fake body.
Then, that was the fake body. Mm-hmm. The real body is still underneath.
It's just rotting.
Breach him.
It's just we kept him away.
No, they salted it. I'm sure the kobolds tossed some salt on it.
They put it in a barrel full of salt right next to the pickle barrels.
I'm gonna pickle them.
So in other words, we found the rituals, and Tim was like, "We could use this for Adelar," and he was like, "No cap," and Jake was like, "Cap."
Sorry.
Gen Z translation provided by the last millennial.
I know what I'm here for.
There you go.
I know their kind. I live among them.
John,
if you did join Threads, that's your name, the last millennial.
Fuck, I gotta do that now.
You have such a good opportunity for it, man. You really do.
Oh god.
Just sign up to take the name and never use it.
Yeah.
See, you could do that.
And some desperate guy down the line will be like, "Can you give me this name?" And I'll be like, $35,000 in a Swedish bank account, and it's yours.
There you go.
And every time he asks me to clarify, I'll be like, $45,000.
So after John created his Threads account back in time, we stumbled across two disc stones, and they were moon dream stones, and Elkwood determined that one was a real dream stone and the other was cursed. Mm-hmm. Cursed by the hag's nasty business vibes. So we plopped one dream stone in the Weepy the Whomping Willow trademark.
That's trademark.
And we had some great dreams. The other dream stone, Elkwood had the brilliant idea, very brilliant idea, of safely storing it in a bag.
Classic. Classic maneuver.
Classic. Nothing has ever gone wrong with
that. That's protocol with cursed items.
Yep, grab it with the bag, you're good.
I'm sorry, everyone, if you have not watched Sticky Business, to you need to listen to the whole thing because we talk about this joke at some point.
That's true,
grabbing a cursed item with a bag over your hand is some of the funniest things that we will never, never do again. So go listen to Sticky Business on YouTube.
We will never do it again until we did it in this episode.
Yeah, that's right. This was the one time. We had one and we used it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So after we had some great dreams, Benson, I remember, specifically didn't have to talk to his mom in his dream, which was great.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rest are inconsequential. So we woke up feeling refreshed after only 2 hours.
I feel like I was the only one that had a non-consequential dream.
I don't remember the rest, but no. That's not for Jake to know.
No, like we all had really good ones. I mean, I remember all the dreams. Hey, except I remember all of them except Grimshaw's. So but I remember Kezra was a flying behemoth dragon. Of a dragon.
Yeah.
Elkwood was flying in the air. And then Benson doesn't have to talk to his mother.
Yep.
I think Grimshaw had, like, done his duty. Like, he was like, yes.
Oh,
like,
yeah. He did the Thanos thing where he sat on the planet side and was like, my work is done.
Yeah.
My work here is done. He works on a farm.
No, but legit, like, what's funny about that is Champions of Milani, like, after they do their business, like, that is what some of them retire and do is, like, tend gardens. Mm-hmm. Like, it's real. And, like, grow roses and stuff, which is pretty cool. Anywho, after that, we woke up feeling refreshed. We went through the portal, and on the other side, what's that? It's cliffside, and in the distance was a little town that Grimshaw likes to call home, Kentargo.
Kentargo, that's what it was.
And that is where we pick up.
So, the recap's pretty good. I'll give you a chance to actually get the name right on the main hag.
Yeah, you messed that one up.
There's no way he gets it.
Can I steal?
Oh.
No, let me see if I wrote it down.
I might have. All right, I'll see if you wrote it down.
You gotta give him like 10 seconds, if that, because that's like teacher, well, open book test. You know, like no, fuck you.
But if you wrote it down, if he did not, then it's over to you.
Nope.
He didn't. All right.
Mark. Rusty May.
Rusty May.
Rusty May! Because I even was thinking, I'm like, that is the most backwoods hick name, and I love it.
Yeah, it really is. You said Rusty Nails, and I gave a look, and you just, like, kept talking.
Whenever the NPCs the say the name, oh, that's Rusty Nail, you just hear banjos in the background. Or Rusty May.
Her name's Rusty May. She makes pies full of poison for the people, all right?
Here you go, children. Now you're dead.
That's on you.
So, Mark, you will get an extra hero point for stealing it from Tim.
I'm never this again if you can just steal it so easily. Never doing the recap again.
You fucked up the name.
Hey, you took notes. You just got something wrong.
This is why I just didn't participate.
Yes.
Work smarter by not working.
Adelar died in a trap, right?
Yeah.
Good job, Kelly. Mark got a hero point, but you got a gold star.
I'm going to put that right here.
Me,
next to your name.
Me, I'm like, okay, recap last episode. Well, we definitely made fun of Tim for at least 30 minutes of the hour-long episode.
There's your hero point.
Damn, that was good.
Alright, let's get into this. So, as you guys came out of the portal, Tim, you're right, you came out of the portal, you got to the top of this, like, bluff, the cliff, on the seaside with the waves crashing down. And as you got to the top and you looked off and you saw the Silver City, a.k.a. Kentargo, off in the distance, but you are quite a ways away. It's just the size of Kentargo that allows you to see it. But you are, you would think, like, over a week away.
Whoa.
It's just that it's a shining beacon. And from where you are, it's sort of, you know, like, you can you know the area, you know the layout, it's your home. But you do see a small town just up the coastline, about a mile away. I would like you all to, if you want, you can try to identify what this little town is.
Society, I guess.
Kendra's never been this far north, so I have no.
So yeah, no.
This is right up my alley. Like, I should know it.
Yeah. So society.
Dice.
Yep. So.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, so as you're looking at the settlement skyline, go ahead and roll a society.
27 from Benson.
32.
Fuck you.
19.
Hell yeah.
19. Elkwood is the only one that knows this, actually.
Yeah, I shouldn't, but... Elkwood knows.
You know that... You know, a town... so let me read it. A town sits a mile away along the coastline dotted with cypress trees. Smoke rises from a few smoldering buildings in the town while an unusually large ship is anchored in the town's quay. You know this town to be Cypress Hill. Or Cypress Point.
Well, Cypress Hill's there?
Cypress Hill, insane. Also very cool.
Insane. Right.
I mean, the smoke's coming off, and then we just hear fresh beats.
I think I made the joke in my head, like, a while ago when I was reading, and then I just...
just stuck.
Just stuck there, yeah. Cypress Point.
Okay.
Does it look like... You said that it's smoldering. Does that mean it's, like, looks like it's been attacked or something?
Make a perception check.
All righty. Ooh.
That ain't good.
Can I actually do a lore warfare?
This is about hearing. It's about your physical perception.
Wait, what?
I'll say while you guys are rolling. You know that Cypress Point is a small fishing town in northern Ravenel, near the Nidalee's border.
I have a plus 13 to my perception. I rolled a 15.
There you go.
I got a 27.
And Tim, what'd you get?
17.
Did you roll? 17. So, all of you except Grinshaw critically succeed, believe it or not. And you guys can hear what sounds like... you can discern panic in the town. So it sounds like you can hear... Oh. Sounds like people screaming off in the distance.
Everyone,
many voices.
About how far away are we?
Cypress Point looks to be about a mile away.
Okay. Start moving.
Yep.
Can we identify the big ship?
From here, no. But it just looks like a massive, vessel of some kind.
Yeah, we see it moored, at least.
Yeah. So it's definitely tied up. It's definitely there. You assume it has something to do with what's happening in town.
Yeah.
No ship this size would dock here usually. You know what I mean? A ship needing the size of it, the size, the supplies it would need, they would definitely just go to Cantargo. Mm-hmm. So you guys are gonna start hustling.
Yeah, it's like after he kind of identifies it, he's just like, "Oh, that's I believe what we call Cypress Point," but. This seems unorthodox, what's going on? And he just kind of sees the smoke, and then everyone else sees it except for Grimshaw, which is, like, looking in the other direction or something.
He's still staring at Cantargo off in the distance, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he's more like, oh, that's... Yeah, like, he gets that, but he's just like, oh, there seems to be something going on.
Wait, what?
Kendra looks at Grimshaw, and he's like, do you have any idea what could be going on here?
I don't know. This looks recent. I think I would have heard something about it if it was an ongoing thing. What's going on? And he kind of turns his attention and he sees it. Like Grimshaw had a very kind of glazed over expression. He looked very wistful until he kind of snaps back into it. It's like, yeah, let's make haste.
Yep, Benson's already running.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
Should be easy to catch up.
Yep.
Yeah. you guys are all running as a group. You guys are hustling. Eventually, the coastline turns into a road, and then you guys take the road as it is the not the most direct, but it's the flattest way. So you know you're not going through
like
the woods and hills.
I like to think Benson is running full out, and everyone else is just briskly jogging.
Yeah,
I'm just like thinking of like in Lord of Rings and stuff when you see like Legolas and Gimli and stuff running.
Yeah, yep.
it's just him running his full speed.
The two paladins.
Got to work on your cardio and weight training. Eventually, you guys get to about 5 minutes out from the town. So it's a very small town. But then there's a few like dotted houses and farms outside of that. You know, for people that trade to, you know, the fishermen and back and forth. And you guys get to these crossroads.
New map.
Oh, these crossroads look familiar.
These should look familiar, Mark.
Down to the crossroads. Any music fans? No?
Okay. I was like, hey, I remember.
So the I used this map when in our 5e game. So. All right, let me know when you guys are into the map, and then I will start revealing.
In the map.
We are into the map.
We're into the map.
Okay. So as you guys are coming from the east side, you guys can see your tokens and all that, Jess?
Mm-hmm.
As you guys are coming in from the east side, you come upon what seems to be a sort of crossroads with fences, and there's, like, farms beyond.
Agriculture.
But there's
disgusting.
There's a stone wall that has a gate that leads into a farm, and as you approach, you see these two rat bastards.
Jeremy Clarkson. So we think they're nice people.
They look like and act like and are wearing the same symbol as the Scarlet Triad sneaks.
All right, time to rip out some hearts.
They're dead. Yep. They're dead.
So as you guys are approaching, these guys are just sort of shooting the shit. One of them has like a pipe or something, and they hear the two paladins coming up, two champions running up, and they're just like, hey, what is that? What? Oh! And then they throw it down, and then seeing Grimshaw's shield and Benson's shield, they immediately take out their swords. I would like you all to roll for initiative.
These are the guys that can restrain you, so be careful.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Right. I forget if... Did the rule change where I can't use my intimidation to roll for initiative?
The way it works is you can still intimidate as initiative if it makes sense for the situation, as in any skill. But you always get to roll a free intimidation separately. No matter, even if you don't roll intimidation for your initiative.
Makes sense. So it does work the way I thought it did.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So in this particular instance, I would say is that since you guys are hustling, that it would be athletics for your initiative. Since you guys were
okay, that's still pretty good for me. I get a +15 to my athletics. Do you know what I do? I just rolled.
Oh wait, what'd you get?
35. It's natural 20.
Cool.
Oh, goodness. Wow. 35.
I'm pretty confident with that. So I'm going to be slightly in front of everybody before everything starts.
Let's go down the line. Elkwood, what'd you get?
29.
Grimshaw.
So Grimshaw, it seems like you see a pattern every time we get into like a more high stakes encounter. He seems a little agitated, and that worm made of stars, though very small, starts to circle him, and you see that it seems like he's going to be agitated and like become super fast like he did before, but this time he looks like he's completely frozen in time. So he got a 16 for his initiative as he failed his flat check to any destabilized.
Oh, no. That's so sad.
Yeah.
That is so sad.
I hate to see it.
All right. Then I'm going to ask Kizer.
Well, I rolled a natural 2, which is, you know, on par for Kizer. So I got but I have a good athletics, but a very strong sorcerer, so 19.
19.
Damn, you're not last.
You're not last.
Somehow. I literally took magical Chronos failure to not make you go last.
Take the W's time. When you can.
Magical Chronos failure is definitely the name of this episode.
Time and space are literally working against Grimshaw, and I barely beat him.
And then thus working for me.
All right, and then we're going to go ahead and start this off with Benson at the top of this combat.
Okay, well,
So as you, like I said, as you're approaching, these two guys clearly see the emblems emblazoned on your shield and your chest and all that stuff. You and Grimshaw, and they throw down their pipes that they were smoking and take out their swords.
Well, I'm going to move the full complement of my movement out and make myself fully ready to engage these fuckers next round.
Alrighty.
45 feet in one round. That's all I can move.
Ooh. Ooh. Damn, Grease Lightning.
Right.
Elkwa Grim.
Okay, so Elkwa at this point. The thing next to me, is that just like a bush or a tree I can go through?
Yeah. So directly to the south of you, it's just like a, you know, three, four foot high fence. So, and okay, there's a tree right there, but you could easily just hop over the fence and the tree where it is.
Okay, yeah, I was thinking about doing that. Going down in this field, and if I'm in this field, this fence, will that interfere with anything?
Like the one? It will. It'll provide some cover because you know it's one of the like the thick board ones because they have animals most likely.
Right.
But now if you get right up on it, then you would get cover instead of them. Kind of one of those rules.
Cool. All right. So he's going to move south.
Okay.
Here.
Yep.
Into this field. He's going to hunt prey on this guy.
All right, so the guy on the left, the westerly.
The left one, since that seems to be more a clear shot. And he is going to quick draw out his new composite longbow, since he is well out of volley range, so he's good. And he's going to take a shot. So I don't know if this guy knows that I'm even here, but I mean, I didn't say I was stealthing, but...
He's still getting some cover from it, but your hunted prey should cancel that out. So,
yeah, that is a 32.
Ooh. Oh, a 32. That is a definite hit.
Okay,
go ahead and roll some damage there, bud.
Yeah. So this is, remember, the modified composite longbow that has shock and flaming damage on this.
Ah, yes.
So 2d8 plus 3. Plus 1d6, plus 1d8, plus another d6 of fire damage.
Gosh.
It's pretty tasty.
This is 25 points of damage. It is 5 points of fire, 6 points of shock.
Okay.
Just in case they have anything.
They're just humans, so. No special treatment in that way.
Yeah, and so all of a sudden this arrow just kind of flies out of fucking nowhere, electrocutes and burns this dude. And Vamir is actually, he's going to get involved a little bit this time.
Alrighty.
It was actually a secret scene you didn't see before. I was like, man, we fucked up. You should have been in there. And he was like, yeah, I know, I should have been.
Vamir's just like, put me in, coach.
Put me in. I was like, no, you're too fragile.
He's like, I throw whole ass pillars over.
I saw that. You're really fucking good that day, but you also have an AC similar to Kezra's, actually.
AC similar to that of a crying baby.
Okay, so he's going to fly. Let me use this foundry.
I mean, Benson certainly
here.
Could use some air support.
Nice.
Yeah, he's going to do the air because he could get right up next to him, but then he's just open to an attack. So
yeah. So this Scarlet Tri-Seek would strike him down immediately.
Oh yeah. So
yeah. All right. Yeah. Is that the end of your turn?
That is it.
All right. Next is going to be. Next is the Scarlet Tri-Seek that you just hit. So how high up is Vamir? Because he's kind of closer than Benson is.
I'll say probably, like, at this point, he was 10, 15 feet in the air.
Okay, so he without a reach, though, or outside of the reach.
Like
though,
he doesn't go within range. He kind of like dive bombs down a little bit.
Okay. All right, so he is going to go up. He's going to...
Give it to me.
Approach Benson. And he's going to try a deception check on you, because he's going to try to faint.
Ah.
All right.
Like he faints. He falls back. And...
I'm so lightheaded. Does anyone have a Snickers?
And then he trust falls.
And Benson stabs him.
Fuck.
He trust falls, and Benson just puts his sword out.
That is a 30 against your perception check or perception
it's
DC.
It's 10 plus my perception DC. He's 10. Succeeding.
10 plus. He succeeds. All right. So in which case he's going to get sneak attack on this.
Golly
so,
gee.
So first, only attack now since that was the first and second action. So a strike
you're flat,
here.
You're flat-footed, Benson.
And you're flat-footed, okay. Yeah. So that is going to be a 29.
Raise my shield. That's a miss, even if I'm flat-footed.
Wow.
All right. Yep. All right. So he goes up and tries to, and you flinch for a second, and then as he goes right for your eye, you manage to like put your pauldron up and just like
right off him.
Yep.
You're like, wait a second. I have a shield.
What is this full plate for? I have a shield.
All right, it is the other Scarlet Triad Sneak's turn. This Scarlet Triad Sneak is going to try and get behind
Makes
you, Benson.
Sense.
Oh, shit.
And then he's going to try to stab you right in the butthole.
That's just not... That's rude.
Not nice.
I mean, maybe.
100 years of pain.
Was that Kancho? Is that what it's called? Kancho?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Was it 10,000 years of pain or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, 10,000 years of pain.
Kancho! God. Oh, I miss Naruto. damn good show. So it is going to be a first strike is going to be a missed. 23 to hit, even with your flat-footedness. Nope. And... Natural 20 on the
that
second
should
one.
Should hit.
Oh, yep. Ooh. All right. So.
Get your card.
Yep. This is going to be piercing.
Ooh, a guarded strike. Gain a +2 circumstance bonus to AC until the end of your next turn.
Ah. I like that. All right, so his AC goes up one.
I'm fine with that.
Well, wait, one or two?
I think he said two.
Two. I like that. Yep. All right, just remind me at the end of his next turn, because I will forget. All right, so damage then. So he goes up and he sinks it right into your armpit. So this is going to be... That's going to be 28 points of damage.
Very nice.
Plus the precision damage from the sneak attack.
Ooh, that's going to be nasty.
Mm. Is this doubled?
Yes.
I forgot.
Yeah, it is.
An additional 14 precision damage.
That's nasty.
And then...
being surrounded by rogues is not the best thing.
You guys are coming in. It's going to be okay.
And additionally, he's going to use a free action to use the Bloodseeker beak that is affixed to his rapier, so it's a little, like,
stupid
needle coming off the crossguard. And the trigger is when you hit a flat-footed creature with the affixed weapon. When you activate the beak, you deal an additional 1d4 precision damage on your damage roll. If you deal sneak attack to that damaged creature, you also deal 1d4 bleed.
Oh.
So, let me go ahead and do a d4... 1d4, an additional 4 points of precision damage.
Okay.
And, why did that do that? Oh, that's weird. And then the bleed is 1 point of bleed.
That was a lot of damage on one attack.
Well.
He says, how about you, goody two-shoes?
Goody two-shoes.
Them fighting words.
Grimshaw comms calls out, "Do you not know who that is?" And who wears the cloak?
Shut the fuck up and get over here!
There's just blood pouring out of Benson's armpit like a fountain. He's like, "Fucking get over here!"
I can't. I fucked up with the chronology here.
My chronos failed me. I'll be there after Kezra. Kezra, your turn.
Could
Kezra? They're lined up.
I was about
up.
To say, can Benson make a free action?
Yeah, go.
He's just gonna scream at Kezra because he sees the orientation. He's just gonna go, "Do it!"
But sir, your men.
Do it.
There is a very good line. However, that line is 1/3 of Benson. Still 2/3 Scarlet Triasteaks. It's up to you.
Wait, what's up to me?
Just
if you want to hit Benson with a lightning bolt.
I'm going to do actually something a little different. I am going to rise into the air, steaming and burning, with a rubble of rocks pouring around me, as because we will fly through the air and slam down the ground right next to Benson.
I love this spell.
In a blazing dive.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, so you're going to hit me anyway.
Yes. all of three of you need to roll reflex saves. This is AoE damage, Benson, so you get your bonus.
Reduces.
Yep, you get your bonus there.
Don't you have your shield? Isn't that like resistant or something? Gives you resistance to fire?
It's cold, I think.
Oh, it's cold, that's right.
Yeah. Alright, so the Scarlet Triad on the west. He gets a 32 total.
Jeez.
It's a regular success.
Regular success. And the Scarlet Triad on the other side of Vincent on the east,
he gets a...
By far. 28.
Benson actually...
just a success.
Benson actually got a 31. Okay. Natty 17 on die.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So you all succeeded, so it was 36 total damage, so you all take 18 damage.
Whoa.
Only 18. Hey, Grimshaw, you gotta lay on hands in your pocket? Because I know what I'm gonna be using for one of my actions.
So that was two actions with my last action. Last action, I will cast shield on myself.
Alrighty.
These guys are gonna hurt me.
Most likely. Grimshaw, it is your turn.
Alright, it seems like Grimshaw kind of snaps to it. He's no longer frozen in time. He sees that time has moved on without him, and he scurries up like, oh no, not again. And he scurries up to this one. Sorry, John, I'm just going to take the strike. We got to get some damage going.
Hey, you'll be fine. No hate, you're coming this way. Do your thing.
All right, so that was my two actions for Striden, one action for Mason, and I'm glad I switched dice because that is a 35 to hit.
Oh, that is just a hit because of the crit from earlier.
Even though I'm flanking, it cancels out or something.
Because you're flanking, it does cancel out, so it is a crit. Yes!
Nice. There we go.
Heck. Fuck him up, Grimshaw.
Yes. All right, now I have to make sure I don't got a special thing to do on a crit or something. All right.
Yeah, you probably have critical specialization.
Yep. Oh, knock the target up to 10 feet. I choose the direction.
Knock him over the fence. Knock him over the fence.
Dark.
He goes over the ropes.
Oh my god, that's actually brilliant. I think I want to do that. Just line up a shot for Elkwood.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
Elkwood just goes up and executes him.
Oh my gosh.
I'm here. Tag me in.
So 24 points of damage, and he's going over the fence.
Let's go.
Alright. 24 points of damage, and you said right here, just over the fence to the south. So, Grimshaw goes up and just wails this guy on the side of the head, and you hear like part of his like jaw crack, and you see blood and teeth just spit, and he just stumbles over and plop, lands over the fence on the ground.
Who has ever in the history of this world said there's a better game than Pathfinder in this world?
Oh my gosh. And I call out to the triad sneak, and I say,
the Chrono Worm may have slowed me down, but Milani strengthens me. Your days are numbered. Nay, your minutes.
Damn.
I think Benson does that in game. He just goes, damn.
All right, that is the end of your turn. I did make him prone, by the way, only because there's a fence there, and it would be impossible to be standing on the other end of
generous.
That. So.
Yeah, he just straight up tripped over it.
I thought it was super cool. I just, if there wasn't a fence there, he would just stumble 10 feet. But I'm like, there's environmental stuff, nice. Man. You got to use it. So at this point,
yeah, more stuff coming.
As we go into round two, you see this gate open, the gate that they were guarding, the gate that they were standing in front of.
Yeah.
And you see two other Scarlet Triad members. Let me go ahead and add them into the initiative.
I knew the only two of them was way too few. Yeah.
And let me show you.
Is that a big boy?
That's
a big boy.
One of them looks like a badass.
He is kind of big, and he is kind of badass. Let me go ahead and pull up the his picture here for you guys. He is a gnarly-looking dwarf that has manacles in his hands. What looks like a flail, and on his pauldron, he has the symbol of the Scarlet Triad on his leather pauldron. He's even got, like bull rings in his beard. Yeah. Like, you know, dwarves like to decorate their beard. Yeah, yeah. But he looks haggard.
This is a chunky, short boy.
Yep.
Jesus.
So they come in this round of combat. Let me go ahead and get their initiative going. That is that one. And that is that one. Okay. Let me go ahead and talk of visibility. There we go. All right. That's what they do to start off this round, so they'll still get their turn. But yeah, so they go up and fling the gate door open, and you see the two of them standing there. That was the end of Grimshaw's turn. That happened. Back to Benson. Your turn now.
All right, Benson. This dude's just been flung over a fucking fence. Benson just looks up, gives Grimshaw like a nod, like. Fuck yeah, and he's going to turn and just start swinging at this bloke in front of him. Let me see here.
Man, I love the Benson-Grimshaw combo. Like, this is the best decision.
26.
Twenty-six to hit this guy. That is a hit.
Very well. I did not think that would be a hit. So damage, 17 points of damage on that strike. And we're going to do a second strike here, because the gods are in Benson's favor. 24.
24, that will be a miss.
Makes sense. Do I swing again, or do I heal?
Oh, sorry, actually, on the first one, he's going to do something called Nimble Dodge in order to avoid it.
Oh, come on, that's bullshit. The hands off the chest piece. Okay, well then Benson is going to use his last action to heal himself.
Good idea.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So as you land the first one, he manages to like barely like use his rapier to like sort of scrape your sword to the side, and then as he does that, you're like a little off kilter from it, and so you swipe up, and you just miss him entirely.
Yeah.
All right. It comes to Elkwood.
All right. So he's just standing there, ready to aim at that other guy, and all of a sudden this dude just crashes over the fence, falls prone, and he's just like, okay then, let's work with this. He immediately changes his hunt prey to this guy.
That's a guy that just fell in front of you?
Yeah, he just at this point, like, his eyes are just darting back between the two, and he just focuses all on this guy and does hunt prey, as first action and a two action hunted shot on this. So this is going to be a plus 21 to hit.
Damn.
Okay then.
Yeah. So this is a, oh my god, 17 on the die.
Okay, this is crit.
Yeah, so 17 on die plus a 21, so that's a 38.
Yep, that'll be a crit.
Yeah, with this wonderful weapon that Kezra helped create. So you just see. Oh, damage. Here we go. 21, so 42 points of damage.
Oh my god. All right.
So,
my god.
And yeah, so 42 points of damage, and with the crit effect of the bow. I'm trying to remember what that was, actually.
Was it the penguin?
Adjacent to a surface that gets stuck to the surface by the missile. The target is immobile and must spend an action 10, athletics 10, to pull it free. So he's basically stuck in that spot.
Yep. So here's what happens. As he flops over, he goes to like stand up, and you hit in as he reaches up for the fence, you hit him in his armpit, and it pins him to the wood of the fence.
Fuck yeah.
And he's just like,
And man, I forgot. Deadly.
Right.
So deadly is another a D10.
Yep.
So let me just roll.
Just roll 10 for us.
I have a D. Yeah. Let's see what we got here. That is a 5.
Good. 5. So, all right.
5 extra damage.
He's not dead, but my god, does he wish he was at this point. Yeah.
Well, that's when Vemir decides to come over.
All right, yeah.
So with one action,
he wants some carrying.
Flies over. Oh, yep. He was. And he's prone, so this also helps his chances of hitting.
Yeah, he's prone and immobilize. Let me see if immobilize.
I don't think immobilize does anything, besides just keeping him.
He's flat-footed there. From being prone, though.
Yeah,
right.
Which is
he's
great.
He's flat-footed from that already, so yeah. But anyway, go ahead and roll.
Go digital dice roller. All right, 28 to hit.
That is it.
Beautiful. Damage is going to be not the most. 14 points damage.
I would like you to describe Vemir's kill.
Vemir pulling his weight.
So Vemir, like, immediately, it's like when he changes hunt prey, it's kind of like there's that bond in between of them that he immediately switches it and flutters over, and this guy is just lying, he's pinned to the fence, and he just plunges his beak straight into this guy's chest and just tears his heart out.
Yeah, so as Vemir lands in front of him, he tries to like swap Vemir off, and Vemir just too quick for the guy, just goes, and he's just like, blood just spurts out of his mouth.
Oh yeah, no, he is just dead. He's the heart has been eaten at this point.
All right, well that guy is dead.
I just like to also think the other guy is just like on the other side, and you just see he's like gout of blood, just kind of
just you're forced to witness this.
Oh shit.
It's like there was a what's that game like Ultra Kill or whatever it is? It's like the shooting game that low polygon, but like it's super intense and colorful and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But like if you shoot the enemies, they just squirt in just like a just like unimaginable amount of blood. Just blank, blank, blank.
Oh yeah, it was like when a lot of the games were turning into 3D era, like Mortal Kombat. So Mortal Kombat
yep.
4
oh, yeah,
with the fatalities.
Yeah.
It was like the pixelated blood just kind of gushing
all over.
Well, you know what just happened? We started this combat and we focused on this guy. He's like, we're feeding you to our beast. And we just threw him to elk.
Yeah, we're at this point.
Not worth it.
You guys can handle the gnarly looking dwarf there.
Oh, Benson intends to.
So it is the Scarlet Triad Sneak, the one that just appeared behind the fence. So he is going to. Oh, they should be a little bit closer since they have front of the fence. He is going to try and run up to the. Just behind Kezra. And he's going to do a feint attack on you to try to. get you flat-footed first.
Awful perception.
Huh? 28 deception.
Success.
All right. And this is going to be a 26 against your flat-footed AC.
Yes.
Wretched would strike
yes.
that.
Success.
All right.
I can't strike the guy in front of me, right? I would have to strike the guy attacking.
You would have to strike the guy.
Okay, so you just get the damage reduction. And,
yeah. He did plan that, by the way, Vincent.
Yep.
he knows your kind.
I've seen that build before.
He knows your retributive kind.
All right, so let's go ahead and do some damage here. So that is going to be 7 points of piercing damage. Regular.
No damage.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me do the sneak attack because then you'll take it off from that too. So, and then only 4 points of precision damage.
Would 28 not hit you, Kezra? You're within 5 feet of me.
Oh, because you're.
So I'm flat-footed. So my AC right now is 26. So flat-footed brings it back to 24. If you give me +2, it gets me back to 26.
So it still hits.
Yep. Yes. Yeah, it would still hit. Yeah.
I was almost a hero there.
It's all right. Almost. So
I think you're a hero anyway, John.
It was 11 total damage.
So, 11 total.
So
damage.
You -9 from that.
Yep. And then he is going to activate his Bloodseeker beak as well. You hit a flat-footed creature with the affixed weapon, so he deals an extra 1d4 precision damage. One precision damage. And then the 1d4 bleed. 2 points of bleed.
2 points of bleed on my turn.
No. Yep. Okay. Benson, did you take your bleed damage? Did you roll for it yet?
Isn't it just 1?
It doesn't say... you know what? Yeah, it's... It doesn't say persistent.
The bleed damage is persistent damage, though.
I was going to say, it must be, because it doesn't say...
Alright, so then you need to roll your flat check to see if you shake it.
Yep.
Okay, what's the flat check?
Looking for 15 or higher.
Nope.
Yep.
Roll into the next round.
Alright, so... Alright. I think it was just,
yeah, it was
one
just
point,
one
wasn't
point.
It?
Yeah.
Just annoying.
Okay. Alright, so... it's just a little drip. So this...
What can I say? Benson's
Scarlet
full of drip?
Scarlet Triads. He's full of it. That's why he keeps doing it. Look at him. All right, so the Scarlet Triad thug, the dwarf, he is going to march his way up right...
Between.
To, yeah, right in between you two. Ooh. Or wait a minute, hold on. Where was he? Right there? Let me see something. So, right there. You have to go here. 30 and 40. What's your speed?
He's got little legs. He can't do it.
Get...
Dwarves are usually
20. Yep, usually 20. But...
He's wearing armor, maybe.
But he wants to get right up to you, Grimshaw.
Oh. That's actually...
He does get right up to you. And he's just going to strike out with his flail.
Wow.
They know who you are.
Mm-hmm. Well, Milani in general.
Right.
So in which case he is, ooh, actually. So they can't do that. But he's just gonna do his regular flail attack. He's got the manacles in one hand and he took out the flail as he was walking up to the gate. So flail strike is going to be it's a natural 20.
Oh,
no.
Of course.
Boo.
Of course.
Is it bludgeoning or piercing?
So this is a flail, which means that it just says bludgeoning. I don't know if it's
probably bludgeoning.
Let me see what the fully ill. Yeah, just do bludgeoning.
Oh, good, because the piercing was really bad. Broken.
Oh wait, it does say spike. It does say spiked ball or cylinder. Oh well.
Does it have versatile piercing? As a trait.
It has. Oh yeah. That's right. That's what I gotta look for here. It doesn't say so, so I'll save you from that.
Yeah. Well, that's good because the other one was bad. All right, bludgeoning. Broken nose. You smack him right in the face. Target takes 1d4 persistent bleed.
Ow.
Oh.
Damn. Until healed.
Okay.
He'll have to make the flat check or be fully healed, yes.
Yep. Alright, so critical hit damage is going to be 38 points of bludgeoning damage.
Crunch.
Yeah, that's a large chunk.
That's a chonky hit.
I don't want to be mean, Kezra, but I kind of wish I'd saved my retributive strike for that.
Yeah. I mean,
can I undo it?
Can I take that back? It's just because I would have gotten the damage reduction and the strike off.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. So the Scarlet Triad sneaks turn. He is going to. It's the one directly next to the west of Benson, to the left. He's going to take a little 5-foot step to the south so he can flank with his boss.
Mm.
Oh, shit.
Good move.
Yeah. Good. Good chess move there.
In which case, he is going to. He doesn't need to try to feint you anymore since he can just get his sneak attack off. So. He's just going to strike out at you with the rapier. 34 to hit.
Right. I will use shield block.
Okay, that's good. And then do sneak attack damage. That is going to be 14 points total.
Two of my spikes break. Mm.
Did you
sting?
Oh, okay, so I'm how using much shield damage block. Did you actually take? So you took none of that?
No, I have 6 spikes on my shield, and each can absorb, I think, 7 points of damage.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yep. So make sure to double check the math on that, because you want to keep a tally of it. Yep. All right. So second attack then. So it's going to be with the map. 17. Bad roll. All right.
Get that shit out of here.
Massive hit. Next one's a miss. Get that shit out of here.
Hey, put all the strength in that hit.
Yeah. All right. So that is the next would be that was the dead one's turn. Kezra, it is your turn. You are a little surrounded by 2 Scarlet Triad sneaks.
Yeah, I know. God, my turn. What I've wanted to do on this turn has changed like 4 times based on everybody's movement.
That's the life of a spellcaster, though, isn't it?
So frustrating. Yes, it really is. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do that. Oh, that. Well, they moved. Hey, you moved too. Great, awesome.
So, just to clarify, there are 5 spikes. Each one has a hardness of 6, and when one's hardness is exceeded, it breaks and goes to the next one. So, I lost 3 spikes.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay. All right. Okay. Gotcha. All right.
Kezra's going to. He's going to cast Blink on himself.
Smart.
That's fair. That's fair.
It was either help Benson or help myself. I'm going to help myself.
It's fair.
So yeah, I'm going to cast Blink on myself, and then I think I'm going to try to get an attack off. I'm trying to try to peck these guys down. I'm going to hit my Cinderclaw Gauntlet.
Ooh.
Alright.
28 on the guy directly to my left.
Nice.
That guy, that is a hit. Go ahead and roll for damage, bud.
Cool. Almost minimum damage. So, 7 damage.
Hey, it's something.
7 points of damage.
Yeah.
Yeah, scratch him in the arm and it kind of sizzles.
It's like, ow.
Ow. Stopped at you. And next is Grimshaw's turn.
In a random direction.
Oh, the monk. Yep.
Dude, you have gotten so much value out of this spell.
I know, seriously, right?
All right, what direction are you blinking?
I gotta reroll, because that's Benson's. Oh, wait, how much? Is it 10 feet or 5 feet?
I think it's just 5. Does it say if that space is...
It is 10 feet away, so...
Oh.
It would be... Here. I move up. Now I blinked to the top left of Benson, so I'm out of danger.
You know, that's all perfect.
Right. You are not next to any of the enemies, so that's good.
I know. I forget
that is
spell.
Perfect. You're not blocking me.
Yep.
So...
Yeah, and I'm out of Elk's way now.
Yeah, that's true. All right, top of round 3, Benson, is your turn.
Wait, okay. What about me?
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Crucio.
What about you?
I only remember because I'm a dead last.
No, you know, I hit next before Kelly did his blink, that's why. So, sorry. Grimshaw, it is your turn instead.
Grimshaw, he took that heavy blow right to the face. Blood's dripping down his nose. There's the Vermeer is just going ham on that corpse below, and you just see Grimshaw's mace, Morningstar rather, it begins like pulsating with that purple light, and Grimshaw whispers to it, "Not yet, but soon." And he looks back to the chonky dwarf and is like, "Finally, a challenge." And he gets into flanking.
Uh-huh.
And he is going to strike out with the Morningstar of Milani.
All right. And he is, because he is flanked, he is flat-footed.
Yep. We're gonna have a blender going, because right after Grimshaw, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know if it's going to hit. I got a 25.
That is just a hit.
Oh, the flanking, man.
I'm sure he doesn't have nimble dodge.
Yeah, he's a thug, not a sneak. Different kind of rogue.
That is 14 points of bludgeoning damage.
There we go. Very nice.
Do I take my chances with another strike, or do I go for something more guaranteed? Man.
Shoot a lightning bolt.
I do the lightning bolt.
Do a lightning bolt.
I'm feeling a little fired up. I'm just going to go ahead and swing again. Oh, I should have stuck to the more safe thing. It was on like a 17. It switched to a 7. So that is a miss with a 20.
That's a miss.
Okay, that's Grimshaw's turn.
All right. That is Grimshaw's turn. Now, top of round 3 to Benson.
Okay.
Do you take your bleed damage, Grimshaw?
Oh, my persistent. How much was it?
Yep.
1d4.
I think it was... Oh, jeez.
Was it 1d4?
Oh, yeah, so you roll
one. Yeah, 1d4.
Yeah. Okay. 3.
3, and I'll see if I make my check. Thanks for the reminder, Kel. Oh, yeah, nat 20. Now I get my nat 20. All right, well, no more bleeding.
You critically succeed in not bleeding.
You critically succeeded at not bleeding.
It's just my morning stall sucked it all up. That's just what happened.
That's what happened, yeah.
You flex your wounds close.
So Benson has been harried by this gentleman below him, this common cutthroat. He's going to spin and try to attack the dwarf now in between him and Grimshaw, just kind of like a change up.
Okay.
That might be a crit. Hold on.
Oh.
It was a 19 on the die.
Oh.
Tim, what's 19 plus 18?
37.
Oh my god.
Then he's flat-footed.
Yep, that is a crit. Go ahead and roll some crit damage there, bud.
Okay, sorry.
Smack.
What?
Oh.
What?
18 points of damage.
That's doubled?
Wait, let me look at the map.
Yeah,
oh.
that was the shittiest roll it's ever been rolled.
Oh my god.
Yep, that was I pulled it up and found there was a 1 and a 2 on the
card.
Die.
What's the card?
No, card is only a nat 20.
Okay, fine. Fuck you.
Well, what's your critical? Does you have critical specialization?
It's bleed, so I guess it's 1d4 bleed.
You have a. Is it bastard sword? Is it?
Yep.
Yeah.
God, I'm so fucking pissed. That was such a.
Yeah, it would be under blades, Tim. If you look it up, blades or swords, I think it's called. All right, so 18 points of damage. So
no, flat footed until the start of your next turn.
Flat-footed. He's already flat-footed. Yeah.
But if he moves, he's still flat-footed.
Okay, correct. I'll attack him again. God damn it. I'm so fucking pissed. I guess dice will be dice.
Dice will be dice.
That's a miss. And swinging for the fences just for the fucking fun of it. Minus 10 plus 8. 24.
Because he is flat-footed, that is a hit.
Hey! Thank goodness. 13 points of damage.
Okay. There we go. Bad.
5 points away from my fucking crit. God, I'm salty.
I mean, when you compare it like that, it does not sound as good.
Yeah.
Alright.
He's digging into the bastard, at least.
Yeah, exactly. Elk, it is your turn.
Okay, so with Kezra's timely teleport, or blink, the one dude right behind Benson is wide open besides a fence.
Correct.
So he is going to narrow his eyes, switch over, hunt prey to this guy.
That is the guy directly below, or closest to Benson, yeah. So he's the one who's actually taking damage, too.
Yeah, well, he's just hoping to kill him, basically, at this point. Vamir is going to take an action first to move and flutter over on the other side, so it's just more of a clear shot. And then Elkwood is going to take a two-action shot against him. So he does get, like, a little bit of cover, but it doesn't help too much when you're hitting with a plus 19.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'll take it. So let's see. Fucking hell! 16 on the die on this one. This is the first time the digital dice roller is doing wonders for me.
No kidding, Kat.
Because I got my dice roll over here, but then I think I have to modify it so it's not nearly as loud.
Oh,
because it's just pure plastic. So that is a 35 total, because, well, 35, 36, it would be in a 37, but with cover.
Even with cover, that is a critical hit.
Whoa. Fuck, goddamn. Yeah.
This dude is going to get lit up. The runes glow on this bow as he just lets go.
Swink.
And, oh my god, that's a crit. 43 points of damage. Plus a d10.
Plus a d10.
Dude, like, this bow is a great. I love it so
much.
That's
insane.
2 points of extra damage.
Shit is
2
insane.
Points of extra damage.
And is this guy still alive?
Not, I mean, yes, but.
Oh, yeah, Vamir is still there. Yeah, so Vamir is going to do what Vamir do. And strike out against him. Yep. He is wavering on his feet.
Yep.
He's like, nom, I'm going to eat it.
No.
So he is. Let me do. God. He's not flanking, unfortunately.
No flank bonuses here, but. But they don't have terribly high ACs as you have realized. So,
what, a 2 and a die? I mean, 16? Does 16 hit?
Nope. 16 does not, unfortunately.
Well, that's it then.
Alrighty. So next is the Scarlet Triad Sneaks, the one that is not wavering on his feet. He is going to take a step up next to Benson.
No.
So here's what he has to do. he is not flanking with anyone, so he's going to have to do a feint to, in order to get you flat-footed.
Fair enough.
Because I remember reading that like, you know, even if you're flanked by two people, if a third one comes up, that third one doesn't actually get the flat-footed on you. So
that is correct.
So, yeah, which is weird, but there's definitely some balance rules to it. So deception check is going to be a 24 against your perception.
I believe that may just make it. Let me check. Yep, he just makes it by one.
Just makes it. All right. So luckily, only one attack.
He still has to beat my AC.
Right. So, and he does not.
Yep, get that weak shit out of here.
He does not do it. So he goes up and faints, and you do flinch, and he manages to stick you, but it goes right into your armor. And
Benson is just a full suit of plate that is just surrounded and getting beat on by things that can't actually hurt him.
Yep. they keep trying.
I don't want to see the encounter where he actually takes out two paladins.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So it then comes to the Scarlet Triad Thug's turn. He is going to turn on you, Benson, seeing the opportune moment because two of his friends are near, and there's something very specific that he likes about that. He is going to swing at you with his flail. All three attacks.
Yep.
Bring him down! Bring him down! First attack. So you are flat-footed against him.
Fair enough.
30 to hit.
Miss.
Miss. Second attack. 30 again.
Yeah, who's gonna miss?
Oh my god.
Get that shit out of here.
Freaking champions, man. so terrible.
Sorry, wait, hold on. What does sweep do? Hold on. Plus one circle to your attack roll. If you already attempted an attack to a different target, never mind. All right, so sweep does not affect. Last attack. 20 total. It was a total whiff. Jeez.
So demoralizing.
Oh, God, it's so annoying. All right.
Get him, boys!
He's like, hit him! Fuck!
Hit him!
No, I'm wrong.
What?
No, when I said that, I for some reason forgot I was flat-footed there for a second. Even if I'm flat-footed, yeah, my shield's probably gonna take some damage, but those would hit.
Okay, the two attacks then that yep. there were 30.
Yep, hit
okay.
me with that. Sorry.
So here's the thing.
Let me. Okay, hold up.
Okay.
We have to do it per attack, because I have my liberating step. And
no,
with
that's
the liberating
fine.
Step, he would get a step, and the second attack would miss because he wouldn't be flat.
Because he wouldn't
that's
be there.
True.
Okay.
That's true.
Yeah, so let's do one attack at a time.
Okay, so the first attack then.
Yeah.
All right, so the first attack was a 30. And here's what happens with this. Okay, so I'm going to do some regular damage here. 17 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
So six points of damage, because Liberating Step takes away 11.
Nice.
All right.
Wait.
Then, jeez. He has something called Pack Attack. The thug deals an extra 1d8 damage to any creature that's within reach of at least two of the thug's allies.
Woof.
So an additional one. Amazing.
One. Nice.
An additional one.
Good job. Jake, you were hyping this up.
I really was.
Oh, you were.
Fell real flat.
And you just took a shit on the floor.
Okay, so then, after that...
I get to
he
move.
He steps, Tim?
Yeah, Benson gets a free step.
Okay.
Here's the thing, do I go up or left? Right,
that's
I mean.
Yeah. Either way is fine with me, because I can hop back into flank.
True.
Actually, no, because of your crit, I think he's still flanked right now or something, so...
Yeah, he's still flat-footed. Yeah,
yeah, you can move wherever you want.
This gives me the most opportunity to use my strike.
Okay. All right, so...
Why isn't he moving?
You can grab the character selection, the little box.
There
you go. All right, so you take a step to the north to be to this guy's left, then.
So the second one's still going to hit me.
Correct.
Okay.
No, the second attack
No.
You wouldn't, because you have your shield up.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Because it would just be a 30, and I needed I needed 32. So, okay then. So you take the one hit, and then you step, and then the other two don't do anything to you. Okay then. All right. It comes to the Scarlet Triad Sneak, the one that is barely alive. He is going to try and stab out at Vamir.
No.
God
damn it.
God damn it.
He's like, what? Bird! And he wipes the blood from his eyes and he takes a stab at it.
Bird!
He's gonna try to faint your bird.
I mean, you go for it.
19.
Wait, 19 total?
Yeah, 19 total, yeah.
He did not faint the bird.
I imagine. It was
I will say this right now. Vamir's perception is higher than mine.
Oh my gosh.
God damn it.
It's a plus 16.
What? That makes sense. As an animal, yeah. That makes sense.
I'd like to point out that Elkwood is currently like a fucking football field away from this conflict.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to have to come around a bit to like see past the bushes, yeah.
I'm just sniping people.
Yeah,
right?
You've been doing some fucking work.
So he's going to attack with his... with his rapier twice on Vamir, then.
Okay.
So first attack, no flat-footedness, 20 to hit.
That's a miss.
Okay. And second attack, 30 to hit.
Oh, that's a hit.
Okay. So this guy's already used his Bloodseeker thing, so we don't need to worry about that. So just regular damage, 10 points of piercing damage. As he stabs your bird right in the stupid chest.
Motherfucker.
You pay for that!
He goes, I've always hated avian creatures.
How dare you?
I've always hated avian creatures that were the size of me.
I hate them.
God damn.
Why do they get to fly and I don't?
Because you got solid bones.
Man, he's
having what my therapist said. Stop it.
He's having a nice end of life conundrum here. He's like wavering. He's like, blood is just draining out of him. And he's delirious. He's like, why couldn't I fly?
If only I had flown, I wouldn't become a criminal and a slaver.
If only I could defy gravity, I wouldn't be filled with so much hatred.
Evil and malice.
Kezra just weighs me down.
Kezra, it's your turn.
Kezra will move to the other side of Vamir.
Toast him up.
And
there you go.
Loose scales cover up his neck and his face as he opens his mouth, and a blast of lightning comes out. See, this is dragon breath. Roll of reflex saves.
Perfect line.
I'll tell you right now, the first guy does not need to make one, because he would die regardless of anything. of anything.
What if he gets a crit?
I was going to say, all right, hold on, wait. Crit. Let me see the natural 20.
Is there a piece of card?
He didn't. Okay. He didn't, in fact.
First thing I was like, is there a piece of cardboard under him?
He just breakdance out of the way. Blood is just making him really slick.
I hate to say, but maybe Kentargo has a real thing with dancing, you know, like street performers and stuff. Kesha's gonna hate it.
Everyone has a dex of 22.
All right, every single one of them. Alright, so he is dead because he had not much left in the tank anyway. And then the one that, hate to tell you, but has not been touched yet.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
He is going to make his reflex save for 28.
Just makes it, so he'll take half damage. It was 96, okay. So 28 damage. Halved is 14.
14.
Damn.
Okay then.
So it's 96 for your breath weapon now.
Yep, my breath weapon is heightened to 5th level. It's 9d6.
That is fucked.
Jeez. God.
For a focus point.
That's like that's amazing.
And that was awesome. And it gives me plus 1 to AC.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a hell of a bonus.
Yeah. Okay. Is that the end of your turn?
Yep.
All right.
Oh, and I teleport.
Grimshaw.
Hold on.
Oh, and the blanket.
And teleport.
Ooh. Let's see. That'd be an interesting one. Okay, so,
So I want Kezra to teleport, and then Jake just goes, oh, and there's two Chimera behind this fence.
they pop out of the woodwork and say, I'm hungry.
Nothing personal, kid.
We're back. Oddly enough, I teleport right next to Benson, where I was before.
Huh.
Oh.
Oh no, Benson is flanked now.
Benson uses his reaction to swing Kezra.
Okay. Grimshaw, your turn.
So I think that's probably the first time Grimshaw has seen Kezra just unleash the power of the dragons through his mouth. So he just, you know, Grimshaw's mouth is agape, and he just looks over at Benson and is like, "So, that's a thing then, huh?"
Yeah, he fucking does that.
Yeah, he's all covered in blue scales for this whole turn.
He's like, "Wait, can I do a breath weapon now too? Let me try."
This guy really likes dragons. He's like, anyways, and he strikes out with the Morningstar Milani against this still flat-footed guy because Benson still crit at the top of the round.
Yep.
Oh baby, uh-huh. And we might be critting. Go to crit town again because that's 37.
Yeah, that is crit town.
Oh baby, and I forgot I have a death drinking weapon, so I actually do extra damage on a crit, which is pretty sick.
What?
Yeah.
Oh dang. Okay.
That's neat. Why the Morningstar Milani glows with a purple hunger.
Ah, gotcha.
Oh my gosh, I am rolling so good tonight.
Kill him.
Okay.
So first off, it's 38 points of damage. I do an extra 1d6 of positive damage.
Okay.
So 4.
Uh-huh.
And I get to shove him 10 feet wherever I want.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
He goes stumbling. Whoa.
It's like I kind of don't want him to get away, nor do I want him to be able to...
He doesn't really need to move anywhere.
Yeah,
can I not?
Shove him?
It just says you knock.
I believe it says you can.
It says you knock the target away from you up to 10 feet. So it says
well,
it happens.
Go ahead and shove, so go ahead and do your shove in whatever direction, but look up whether or not you have to do it, because it's not always advantageous in this point.
Yeah. I just think the way I picture it, it's just such an awesome blow, you know?
Just so much power behind it that
I think I might put a little distance. So
shove him 10 feet into the ground.
I'm shove him right here.
Okay.
So kind of
so
against
goes sort
the
of,
fence. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so he goes against the fence. So he's on the other side of the fence where his dead friend is.
Yeah.
So
I see him now.
Yeah.
Oh. And he goes, hey, Eric, get up. Come on,
need
you.
Oh, God.
Eric?
Oh, he had a name.
Eric.
Remember that, Tim, next time.
That was Eric. Technically, I think his name is Dead Eric now.
His name is Dead Eric.
Deadass Eric.
Eric's name will be on the pop quiz next episode.
Right.
Oh gosh.
Remember that in the recap.
Not be participating.
Remember that in the recap.
Not participating.
What was the name of the dying sneak that was pinned against the wall?
Alright, so that was just your first
action. My first action. So it's my next action. Right. I just stare daggers at him and I say, "You better pray to more than just Eric." And then I call out, I look to the skyward and I say, "Milani, strike him down." And I'm going to roll a battle prayer. So it is a religion check
battle
against
prayer.
Your will DC. Come on.
Come on.
I hope your will DC is low, because I got a 28.
That is still a success, actually.
Yes. Okay.
Very cool.
Success ideal. 1d6.
Additional little d6 on top of this.
4 points of good damage.
Another 4 on a d6.
How does Milani's damage manifest in the battle prayer?
Oh, okay. So, you know, as I strike him down, and we're in like a grassy area, so you see roses start to coil around his legs, and the thorns just begin piercing into his legs as the roses climb.
Ah, I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, usually, like, when I hear of, like, battle prayer, also, I think it's sometimes, to me, because it's not mental damage, but it's kind of, like, metaphysical almost.
Yeah, it's divine.
That it's...
Yeah, it's all divine, yeah. Yep.
So, like, in his head, he's just feeling thorns piercing his body. Yeah. But, and honestly, Tim, I would have also loved if you just, like, were 10 feet and then you charged him and clotheslined him over the fence.
Okay, okay, let me tell you, next level, I'm going to get the sickest ability that would have been so perfect here. Like, you don't even know, it's awesome.
They just say, by God, he's been broken in half.
That is my witness, he's broken.
The champion off the top rope.
He had a career and a family.
And here's Benson with the steel shield.
And now
you have one more action.
I do, and I'm going to call upon Milani once again.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to say, Milani, lend me your protection. And I make a religion check. Oh, this is a high religion check. I didn't realize how high of a religion check. I have to hit a DC 30, so it's not a gimme.
Wait, what is this?
Oh, this is sacred defense.
Oh, okay.
Missed it. My religion is plus 16. I got a 13, so it's a 29.
That's a 29. Fail. You missed.
So let's see. Okay,
Milani says, you're fine.
You're fine.
You're fine. You're fine. Why do, what do you need? You're performing quite well. I have to admit.
Thanks, but I could have really used the HP. Not that badly, but anyways, talk later.
It would have been a little less. Benson, your turn.
Do I still take damage, or do I shake it?
You shook it, but I think Benson and Kev will still have bleed damage.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, so Benson, it is your turn, though.
Okay, what do I do here? That's a great question.
So, right now, both the Scarlet Triad Sneak and the Scarlet Triad Thug, the dwarf guy, they are both just to the south of you guys, kind of on the fence.
See, I don't want to.
It's sort of a standoff here in the middle of this intersection.
Yeah.
So Benson is going to move up to. Does he want to do that? Yes, he does. But like, we haven't damaged the thief that much, but the dwarf is the bigger threat.
I know.
I will say I will target the sneak. And we'll try to bring him
Benson
down.
So Benson is going to move. So right before Benson moves, there is an eruption of light as his wounds close and he lays on hands and he will stand directly in front of this dwarf slaver.
Mm-hmm.
And he will demand his free action. Try to kill me. And he will swing with his last action.
All right. He is no longer flat-footed. Wait, is he no longer flat-footed?
No longer.
27.
Okay.
Was it till the end? Let me check.
Was it end of your turn or start?
Yeah. Okay. That one. Until the start of your next turn. Okay.
Okay. So, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
No longer.
All right. All right. So wait, what was your total there,
27.
Still hit.
Fuck you. 9 points of damage. The damage dice don't like me today. At least hit him.
Yep.
How come you only rolled a 1d4?
Oh, shit. I rolled... Sorry.
No. Oh, that was your...
19 points of damage. I rolled unarmed by accident.
That's better. That's better. I think you hit the unarmed. Yeah,
I did hit unarmed. thank you for noticing that,
just
Kelly.
Bitch slaps him.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Gil. All right, he is wavering. If he got an action left.
No, I healed, moved, used a free action to taunt him, and attacked.
Gotcha. Okay. Elk.
Okay. Elk is just, he is just transferring this hunt prey all over the place right now. People are flying and dying. So he's going to hunt prey on the sneak here.
Okay.
And he is just... Man, he's
unload your artillery.
Yeah, pretty much. That's all he's doing. I mean, if it ain't broke,
Yeah, I mean, the thing too is that, like, nobody's been able to get over there to get to you. Because you're, like, over a fence and, like, stuff like that, and they clearly have two champions and a fucking sorcerer in their face. So, like, they're like, just avoid the archer for now.
Nobody's ever going to get around ever again.
No, not at all.
I'll stay over here. That is a 32 to hit.
That is fuck's sake. 32 is good. Yeah, it's going to be a hit.
Sweet. Damage. Just, oh, beautiful. 29 points of damage. Oh,
creamy.
Okay.
God, that is, dude, like, just having the extra 2d6 added on that is amazing. Oh, yeah. I mean, 3d8 plus 2d6. Just, so good. But now Vamir is going to fly over.
He's going to fly.
Flank with anybody.
Yep. You know, flank it, but he can still get within melee and set something up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he is. He's going to swing with his beak. Because that's what you do. Come on, baby. 27 to hit.
27 to hit. Yeah, even if he nimble dodged, that would still be a hit. So go ahead and deal some damage. Yes.
3d8. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. 8 and a 5.
Oh.
24 points of damage.
Oh, my God.
Mince
dude,
me.
Like, Dice Roller Ooh. Loves me right now, and I'm going to hate it probably the next time.
Next session you're going to be like, I suck. Right, this is fun.
Well, next time I'm going to put velvet, or not velvet, some sort of cloth on this
dice. Oh, felt. Felt. Be good,
just
yeah.
So it doesn't ricochet 20 different times.
Yeah.
Because it looks like a really cool dice roller, because I showed you guys. It's a big skull.
Yeah, the skull thing.
It's awesome. You put it. Yeah, but...
All right, that's the end of your turn. All right, he is going to try and... he's going to take a step up. Here, he's going to take a little step north, and he's going to try to feint and stab Kezra.
not the bird.
No.
Just
no.
Attacked him.
I think me and Tim have the same idea right now.
He doesn't... he doesn't hate birds enough.
The other guy was the only one that...
That was that guy. This guy's just like, I always wish I could do magic.
The other guy's less slept with a bird.
That is going to be a 29 deception.
Yeah, that gets it.
Alright. And then he's going to strike out. Then it's going to be only a 21 against your flat-footed.
Wow. Ooh, that misses.
21.
Wow. Okay. All right, that is that. It is the thug's turn. The thug who is on death's door.
He is... I guess I should have killed him.
Shit. He is going to try. Okay.
Come on. Bring it on.
So, I realized I could have done something, but I'm not going to worry about it now. All right. He's going to just do three flail attacks on you. That's all he can do at this point.
I'm a flat-footed
bitch!
24 to hit.
Oh, my gosh. He doesn't... Benson doesn't even try to deflect. He lets his fucking helmet block that.
Three misses. Just total whiffs.
Wow.
He's like on his knee, and he's just like
swaying,
flailing
and
it back
every
and forth.
Time it bounces off Benson, Benson just goes, kill me.
Kill me. You can't.
It's like internally, Benson's like, you were talking all that mad shit earlier, man. What's wrong? What's wrong, man?
Kezra, it is your turn.
Alright, Kezra feels the battle is pretty well in hand. He will...
Chuck slam this guy.
I think
you can have a straight line here.
Over... Kezra will move between the two the two champions. Nice and snug. Nice and snug in my armor sandwich.
Yes, you are.
And then, so I can have both of your reactions if I need them. And then I will
good lord, you're in the safest spot on the battlefield.
Hydrogen bomb couldn't get you.
Yeah,
not even God can strike you down right now.
And I'll just hit them with a nice cozy electric arc. So go ahead and roll some
damage. Alright. Alright, so sneak. Is it attack roll or is it reflex save? It's
reflex.
Reflex.
So alright, so the sneak gets a 31.
God damn.
Regular success.
Okay. The thug, his worst save, 21.
Fail.
Nice.
Alright, so what is the damage on those?
17 total damage. So half would be, what, 8?
Yeah, half would be 8. I would like you to describe your kill on the Scarlet Triad Thug.
Ooh, so I feel like the light bulb first arcs to the little guy.
Yeah,
he kind of dodges a little bit, and then it just darts over and just hits the thug straight in his Scarlet Triad pauldron, and just lights him up, fries him as he falls and stinks in Benson's very intimidating face.
All right. The Scarlet Triad Sneak is pissing his pants, and it looks like he is ready to turn around and run. Grimshaw, here's your turn.
That's not good. He ain't getting out of here. He's in the box of pain.
I know. Steps up.
Flanking with Vemir.
of all allies to flank with.
You know?
Hey, he's a big fucking bird.
Yeah.
He's intimidating, all right?
Grimshaw appreciates Vemir just kind of as a carrion creature and also with his, you know, battle prowess. You know, he gives a nod to the bird, not knowing if it understands, and strikes out with the Morningstar Milani.
It just cocks its head a little bit. But then secretly it does do a battle.
A 26.
That will hit.
Oh, yes. Come on. I need some hot dice. Let's go.
There, you got a chance to take it out this turn.
11 points of damage.
Okay.
All right. Just going to swing again.
For the fences.
Sensing. Still up.
He's swaying.
The Morningstar egging him on. He doesn't even feel like he has a choice on what his next move is. The Morningstar just strikes out almost automatically.
Oh,
and strikeout it does with a 32.
That'll be a hit as well.
Oh man,
drop him.
He is dead.
Let's see if it has it. Oh gosh, this Morningstar is hungry. Because that is max damage for 22 points of damage.
Please describe how you finish off this Scarlet Triad.
Like I said,
fuck yeah.
It looked as if Grimshaw wasn't even in control of this action. The Morningstar jerked up, smashes down. It just looks like such a rigid movement. Just up, straight up, like his arm at a right angle, and just smash down like a doge bonking someone. And you just see that as it bonks, like just the energy just starts flowing into Grimshaw as the death drinking reaction has been triggered. And you see that Grimshaw is looking pumped up.
As the Scarlet Triad Sneak dies and crumbles to the ground, you guys see beyond the gate and beyond the stone wall that they had walked out of, you see what looks like to be a little cottage farmhouse thing, and you see a family open up the door, curious as to the bloodbath that is happening outside. And I'll see you guys next time.
What a fight.
Fuck yeah.
You can't bring us down, Jake. It's like...
I just like the family opens the door and they just see all these people coming in.
Hey everyone, Kelly here, the voice of Kezra. To remind you to follow us on all of our socials and to stay up to date with DPS content and Pathfinder related news. If you want more Dragon Punch Squad, check out our Twitch and YouTube channels, as well as our Discord and subreddit for episode discussions and lots of memes. See you next episode.